Have you ever found yourself in a place where life just felt fundamentally unfair, where maybe every comfort was stripped away and all you were left with was this profound sense of loss and maybe uncertainty? Yet even right there in that deep despair, did a tiny, almost unexpected flicker of hope ever emerge? Well, that's the kind of electrifying paradox we're looking at today, right at the heart of Job chapter 14. We're doing a deep dive into this ancient text, and our mission isn't just analyzing old words, it's wrestling with this big question: can we find authentic hope and maybe a deeper, more resilient faith, even when life feels completely relentless and unfair? Job offers this startlingly raw answer that I think speaks directly to your journey. It shows us how honesty, even with our doubts, can actually lead to profound trust and, yes, greater obedience to God. So, okay, let's unpack this a bit. Picture Job. He's lost everything, basically sitting in the ashes of his life. And he doesn't hold back at all. He opens with this incredibly stark, almost jarring statement: man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble.
I mean, it's such a powerful, blunt assessment, isn't it? It immediately drives home the sheer fragility and, well, the brevity of our existence, a truth many of us kind of shy away from. He paints such vivid pictures, too, almost heartbreaking images to underscore this point. You feel it. He compares human life to a flower. It comes forth, blooms for a moment, then withers and is cut down, gone. Or maybe even more strikingly, like a fleeting shadow, it just disappears, leaves no trace behind.
Right. These aren't just pretty metaphors. They feel like these visceral expressions of how our time here is not only incredibly short, but so often, burdened by struggle and pain.
Yeah, it's a universal feeling, isn't it? That still resonates deeply today. And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is how Job, in his agony, doesn't just lament his own state. It's not just poor me. He immediately turns his attention with this startling honesty straight to God.
Yeah, he goes right there.
He questions why the divine would even focus attention on such a frail, temporary being. He asks directly, and dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? He's essentially saying, why are you pursuing judgment against me, God, when my life is already so inherently difficult and, well, limited?
It's a huge question, one that many of us probably whisper or maybe even shout in our own hard times.
Exactly. And he even digs deeper into just the human condition itself, acknowledging our inherent limitations. He says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Right. That really highlights our flawed, sort of imperfect nature from the start.
It's a statement of pretty radical humility before God, especially given his circumstances.
And then, right in the middle of all that darkness, all that raw honesty, Job throws out something, well, utterly unexpected, a line that just kind of stops you in your tracks. He shifts from this deep despair to a surprising, almost defiant longing, a longing for something beyond the grave, maybe a kind of resurrection or renewal. He actually says, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. I mean, what do you make of that? This sudden glimpse of hope for resurrection right in the middle of such despair?
Well, it feels like a crack of light, doesn't it? In an otherwise completely dark room. But that's exactly the tension, isn't it? Because while that moment is incredibly powerful, it's also fleeting.
Right. It doesn't last long.
Job almost immediately plunges back into his prevailing despair, which tells us something about the brutal reality of intense suffering, you know? How even hope can feel like a fragile, temporary visitor sometimes.
Yeah.
He then states quite starkly, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? He paints this bleak picture that once a man lies down, he riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep.
That bleak.
So for Job, right in that moment, hope seems entirely lost for humans in the face of death. It's a stark contrast to that hopeful verse just before it. It really shows the volatile emotional landscape of grief.
It's such a striking contrast, isn't it? He brings up this idea that while humanity seems to face this ultimate terminal end, there's a surprising persistent hope for a tree.
Yeah, that
Even if a tree is cut down, he observes, there's still hope. It might sprout again just from the scent of water nearby. Its tender branch won't cease. It can bud, bring forth new boughs. Life finds a way, for the tree at least. But then he brings it right back to humanity, asking that haunting question again. Once man gives up the ghost, and where is he?
It really highlights this profound sense of powerlessness and finality that Job feels for us, for humans, compared to the enduring regenerative power he sees in nature.
Yeah, it's almost like an indictment of how temporary we feel.
And if we kind of zoom out a bit and connect this to the bigger picture, the ancient wisdom here, well, the insights embedded in Job's raw lament really do leap across millennia. First, and perhaps most undeniably, it just underscores the profound truth that human life is fragile and brief.
No escaping that in this chapter.
Right. Job's blunt reminder that our days are short and uncertain isn't meant to paralyze us with anxiety, though. I think it's meant to compel us towards humility and urgency.
Urgency, that's interesting.
Yeah, because when you truly grasp your limited time, it naturally reorders your priorities, doesn't it? Second, even in his relentless questioning, his immense suffering, Job never completely loses sight of a foundational understanding. God is intimately aware of our limitations. He acknowledges that God has set boundaries on our lives. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass.
Mm-hmm. So there's a limit.
There's a limit. And this isn't just about, you know, divine sovereignty, God's power. There's maybe a glimmer of divine compassion in it, too. A recognition that God knows exactly how much we can bear. He set our boundaries with intention.
That's quite an insight from someone in so much pain.
It really is.
And that, I think, leads us straight to what I find so compelling here. Job's spiritual honesty. He really doesn't pull any punches, does he?
Not at all.
He's throwing everything out there completely unfiltered.
Rip.
His pain, his big questions, his confusion, all of it. And that's precisely what makes this text, for me, a kind of masterclass in engaging with God. It's not about having perfect answers or these neat theological statements ready. It's about staying in the conversation, no matter how messy it gets.
Staying in the room.
Exactly. This longing for meaning and suffering becomes this powerful model for your own spiritual honesty. It shows that real faith often involves wrestling with our doubts, not pretending they aren't there.
And it's that very honesty, that wrestling, that allows those glimmers of hope to break through, even in the deepest despair. While Job repeatedly seems to see death as totally final for humans, that brief, almost defiant moment where he imagines a day when God might call and I will answer, that's incredibly significant.
It really stands out.
It suggests this profound longing for a relationship that transcends even the grave. It's a remarkable foreshadowing, really, of resurrection hope.
Wow.
It's like a seed of something truly eternal planted right in the middle of crushing temporal pain. You can almost feel his heart reaching out, believing that God, whose hands made him, would desire to call him back.
So if we try to distill the essence of this chapter, maybe it's captured in those two powerful bookends we've talked about. First, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, highlighting the inescapable depth of human suffering,
mm-hmm.
and then contrasting that with, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands, which plants that undeniable seed of eternal hope, a hope that, you know, would be much more fully revealed later in Scripture.
Exactly. It's a journey from lament to longing.
Okay, now let's bring this powerful ancient wisdom right into your modern life. Let's see how it can genuinely strengthen your faith and maybe encourage a deeper, more intentional walk with God. First, Job's powerful reminder that life is incredibly short. Well, it shouldn't lead to anxiety or paralysis, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, think of it as an urgent call to maybe radical intentionality.
Mm-hmm. Intentionality, I like that.
If life truly is like a fleeting shadow, what then becomes truly substantial? What lasts? This isn't about just rushing around, but about discerning what echoes into eternity amidst all the trivial stuff.
Right.
It forces us, forces you to ask, what do I really value, knowing my days are numbered? And that kind of focus, that naturally leads to a more obedient life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Aligning your actions with what truly matters to God. Second, this chapter profoundly challenges us, I think, to cultivate compassion over criticism.
Oh, absolutely.
When we remember Job's lament that human life is inherently full of trouble, it really shifts our perspective on others. In times of suffering, people don't need harsh judgment or, you know, trite solutions. They need mercy, understanding, genuine empathy.
Yes, just presence sometimes.
Exactly. Job's words remind us that life is already incredibly difficult for pretty much everyone. And knowing that should make us gentler, more empathetic, fostering communities of support, not judgment.
And that itself is an act of obedience, living out God's compassion.
Yeah, and these insights, they truly encourage a deeper, more resilient faith. Which leads to the third point. Job's prayers were not polished at all.
Far from it. They were raw, emotional, deeply personal, just the torrent of questions and anguish directed at God. And this teaches us such a crucial lesson. God invites this kind of unfiltered honesty in prayer. He can handle it, especially when you feel overwhelmed, lost, or even betrayed.
It's okay to be real.
It's more than okay. Speaking your unfiltered thoughts and pain to God isn't a sign of weakness or a lack of faith. It's the actual path to building a genuine, resilient connection with Him. It's permission to be fully human before your Creator. And that openness, that radical honesty, it deepens trust and fuels obedience because you're engaging authentically. Fourth, think about this. Job questioned everything, even God's justice, His very character sometimes. Yet He never stopped talking to Him.
He stayed in the conversation.
He stayed in the conversation. And this shows us that faith doesn't always look like unwavering certainty. Sometimes, maybe often, it looks like dogged perseverance. It's just not giving up, not disengaging from that divine conversation, even when the answers aren't clear or aren't what you want.
Just keep showing up.
Keep showing up. This unwavering commitment to wrestling through doubt can profoundly strengthen your resolve and your trust in God because you're working through it with Him, not turning away from Him. It solidifies your belief in His presence even when you can't feel it, which in turn reinforces your commitment and, yes, your obedience. And finally, maybe most powerfully, Job shows us how to hold on to hope even when the darkness feels absolute, utterly absolute. He saw no clear way forward. By all logical accounts, his hope was, well, extinguished. Done.
Logical, yes.
Yet something deep within him still hoped for a response from God. That divine call, that faint, persistent hope can anchor you in seasons of profound loss, grief, and long waiting. It reinforces the belief that there is always a divine answer, a divine purpose, even if it's currently unseen or completely beyond our comprehension.
Hope in the unseen.
Exactly. This kind of enduring hope born from honesty and perseverance is such a powerful foundation for continued faith and a life of trustful obedience, knowing that even when you can't see it, God is at work and, as Job says, desires to reach out to the work of His hands, that's you.
Wow. What a profound journey we've taken just now. From Job's raw, ancient lament about how short and troubled life is, we've uncovered some deep, timeless wisdom, haven't we?
We have.
And finally, we've seen how these truths can actually transform your perspective and profoundly strengthen your faith, encouraging a deeper obedience in your daily life. It really emphasizes the immense power of wrestling with life's deepest questions in a spirit of, well, honesty and enduring hope.
Mm-hmm.
Job's story reminds us that even when our hope seems utterly lost, completely gone, a powerful longing for God's call can still emerge from the depths. So here's something to think about. What does living with this kind of radical honesty and enduring hope mean for your own journey of faith, especially when you have doubts? And how might embracing that actually reshape your obedience today?